Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Enterprise Dish. Today, we are hanging out with the Ohio boys. Some people call him Rick, and so do I, actually. How's it going, Rick?
Well, some people call me other things, but no, it's going great. I'm glad to be back on, Brad.
Yeah, things are going well, and this is a slightly different episode of the Enterprise Dish, mostly because Veeam had a major announcement here. Was it this week or was it last week? It was
last week, Tuesday the 18th.
Okay. So Veeam, for those who aren't familiar, is a big player in the backup and recovery business, and they just released version V10. Is that correct?
Yeah, V10. I'm real excited for that. It's been a long time coming. Those who have been following us, we first announced V10 in 2016, quite a while ago, right? But some of those capabilities we released already, and, and we actually put other products and new capabilities in kind of in front of some of the V10 capabilities. But yeah, it finally went out to market, so we're happy about that. It's been very well received, and I felt horrible, Brad, because there was an analyst there in Cincinnati, and I went down, and on the way back, I'm like, I should have called Brad.
Yeah, you should have.
I went down to Storage Review, and we updated their lab to V10, and so next time, we're going to swing over to Madeira and pay a visit and at least get a free lunch out of it for you.
So I will. You can make it up to me by shipping a vehicle to my house that has a V10 under the hood. I think we'll be even.
Oh, actually, don't give Veeam any ideas. They may just create that type of vehicle. There is a V9 racer that we made for V9 to come out. Actually, I think I got it on a poster over there.
Yeah.
And Don't float those ideas around here. Somebody once photoshopped a Veeam plane. I'm like, don't show it to our co-founder.
I would happily drive around a Veeam green V10 Lamborghini. I don't believe Porsche makes a V10. Otherwise, I'd take a green Porsche. But I would be willing to make the sacrifice to take a V10 Lamborghini. And
I don't even think an engine technology can exist in a 10. I thought it was 8 and 12. 6, 8, 12.
I'm sure there's some. We'll find out. And I will have
I better stick to backups rather than cars. Yeah. It's not my
There's a reason why this is not a car show. This is not a car show. But we should dive into that because there's a lot of features. And I think it's worth pointing out for people who are looking for solutions or maybe even have Veeam and haven't updated yet or have, just in the industry, which is what this podcast is about. Just talking about what's new, what's in the product, how people can get a hold of it. Let's just walk through it.
Yeah. So I'll answer the questions in reverse order. How do you get a hold of it? You go to veeam.com and you can't miss it. It's right there on the top of the page. You can download a trial or even a community edition, the free edition. And I'll throw this out to the listeners. The community edition, you can back up, 2.5 terabytes of NAS data for free.
Wow.
So if you have like a file share at home with your photos and stuff like that, the community edition will back that up for free. It gives you 10 instances. So an instance could be 250 gigs of NAS data. It could be a Windows system, a Linux system, a virtual machine. So you could back up like 5 PCs and 1.25 terabytes of NAS data with a community edition. How cool is that?
Yeah.
Home lab, right?
Yeah, very much
so. And you can get all that at veeam.com. But what's new in V10? There's really like 150 new and enhanced capabilities.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah, that's it. So actually, we've got like another 4 hours to go through it all, but I'm just going to give you three. Okay. I'll give you the top three that we have, and I'll tell you the story around it. So the first is seriously powerful NAS backup. So network attached storage backup. I like to say it's about to get nasty, right? We're going to be backing up these NAS devices. I can't wait.
Wow.
this is high production quality here, Brad.
It is.
But NAS backups are really going to be a big deal. We are supporting Linux file servers, Windows file servers, but also Pure Storage Protocols, NFS, SMB.
Okay.
And you can back that up and put it on any regular storage target. So really big deal for most of our customer base. That was one of the areas that I've been wanting us to have a solution. I mean, there were ways around it. We had NDMP, we had file copy jobs, but nothing really scalable. So this is very scalable for the different data sets that are out there today. And you can even put those backups in the cloud. So it's ready for what the market needs today. And second thing, and this one's actually really cool, and I'll equate it to something that I think will really get the heads turning here. Our instant recovery engine is really enhanced with version 10. So 10 years ago in 2010, when I joined Veeam, version 5 introduced instant VM recovery, which was the notion of powering a virtual machine on directly from the backup. Mm-hmm. Over the years, we've made changes, right? We'd add new performance enhancements. We added Hyper-V support and such. But this release is different. We have really made a significant change. One, we're allowing some really big portability. So I can take my physical laptop that I'm talking to you on now, take a backup of it with Veeam Agent for Windows, and I can instant recover it as a Hyper-V or a VMware virtual machine in like 2 or 3 minutes. Really, really powerful. Likewise, I could take a VMware virtual machine and restore it as a VMware virtual machine, or a Hyper-V virtual machine and instant restore it as a VMware virtual machine, or something up in the cloud back as an instant recovery of a VM. So some real serious portability options. But I want to flip that around. It actually becomes a use case where if I have like physical servers in my data center, mm-hmm. and I want to replicate those offsite, I can instantly recover them as a virtual machine. So it's basically now a replication engine for physical servers as well. You know, it's just really a lot of capabilities here, and there's significant performance improvements. We can actually now run multiple instant VMs at once, instant VM recoveries at once. I was doing a little simulation here. I did like 26 virtual machines in like 10 minutes, and I was not using SSDs for the backup targets, right? So really, really powerful stuff on instant recovery. And then, which I think, you know, having that type of portability options, that's actually really significant, because sometimes people move, you know, physical to virtual, virtual to the cloud, cloud to back on-prem. Mm-hmm. And having those kind of quick restore techniques is really, really, I think, a need in the market today. Sure. Because it's kind of crazy, but what I could do is I could take this computer I'm talking to you on, mm-hmm. I could restore it to Azure, I could back it up again, and I could send it and run it in Azure, and then restore it back on-prem as VMware. And if I really wanted to get crazy, then I could restore it back as a physical laptop. I mean, it's just crazy stuff.
Yeah, that really is. Now, how long would that process take? Let's just say for a workstation, nothing like crazy, but like just like an average, you know, PC.
So when we don't have the latency of the internet involved, yeah. I'll give you an example. I could take this laptop or a physical server. Mm-hmm. I could do a full backup. And the beauty is, the system's still online, but then let's do an increment, which those are always really quick, say 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So if I want to fail this thing over, I could run an increment right now, so about 3 minutes, shut it off, and then launch the instant VM recovery of this physical agent backup to throw it either to VMware or Hyper-V. That takes about another 2 or 3 minutes, and then it's running.
Wow.
So
that's not bad at all.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, like that's like not bad as underselling it by about a mile.
That's pretty it's really amazing. Shaking the market again when it comes to high speed recovery techniques for image based backups. This is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's going to give our replication engine a run for its money, honestly.
Hmm. Well, I mean, it's a smart approach though, and it's, you know, I'm trying to think in the terms of like, as more and more thin clients become, at least in my opinion, I think VDI is going to be a huge future, long tailed. And like that type of a recovery and build out model makes a lot of sense. Wow.
Yeah. Just portability. I mean, people change platforms today because of the different characteristics that one platform has versus another. Like same thing when it comes to the cloud.
Sure.
I see a lot of people going to the cloud, not because it's cheaper, but because it's the right platform for what they want to do.
Yeah.
And this is another angle that can help you. Like this is a way that your backup tool can help you choose platforms because, I can move to that platform in just minutes.
Yeah.
Now, moving up to Azure, that depends on the size of the workload and it depends on the bandwidth, but it takes surprisingly less than you would think, less time than you would think. I think I did 20 minutes to throw a regular Windows system up to Azure. Now I should try it now in our lab because we just got upgraded to full gigabit Ethernet connectivity.
Oh, I'm jealous.
Which I love. To the internet, I should say.
Oh, wow.
To the internet. So I'm doing speedtest.net and it's measuring in Gbps now. So I'm like, oh, I love it. And it's hilarious because the lab has better internet access now than the office, which we do our lab at this kind of co-hosting site. Okay. And it's actually really an interesting story here in Ohio because it used to be owned, that property used to be owned by one of the large churches around the world.
Really?
That's based in the Vatican, that church.
We're not naming names.
No, but... yeah, just one of the churches based in the Holy See. And basically, they had this weird little exclave of land over time based up here in northern Ohio. And there's a highway that ran through it. So one side is now a college where people go to become fully ordained ministers and whatever the role is in that church. The other side they used to own, but they sold. But over the years, they held it for a long time, and it became this weird little Switzerland of sorts. So all of the significant telecom carriers, almost I want to say, I don't know if I want to say they come into Ohio from that area, but there are 50 telco providers that have their main pop in that building. Huh. And there's this whole other side of the colo that we're not allowed to go to because all of the different telcos come in through there too. So the long and the short of that story is that it has completely democratized the price of bandwidth there.
Sure.
Because we're just going from one side of the building to the other. And we get very, very good connectivity at a very, very good price. And I like it a lot.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't have shabby internet coming into my house. It's in the terms of gigabit, whatever. It's one down, right? It's 1,000. But only 250 up. But
yeah, it's a good question. I think mine is both directions.
Symmetrical.
Yeah, symmetrical. That's a very good word. Yeah, so 1.4, and it was actually it says it was only 310 up only.
Only, I know, only, right? I was just thinking that too. It's like mine's only 250 or maybe it's 500 up. What, it doesn't matter. It's all
up is the new thing though.
It right? is.
It becomes kind of an interesting situation. I used to support a lot of retail, right? Where we had point of sale in the field. So we needed up or out, right? So that was different. But that's a really tangential thing. Back to V10. The other thing that I think is really important that came with V10 is the ability to beat ransomware. And there's a new technology that we've implemented that'll really help customers not just beat ransomware, but also help protect against potentially malicious administrator activity and protect against accidental deletion of data. So we've done that actually powered by the cloud. And this was a really big milestone because we were able to leverage Amazon's S3 immutable backup or immutable object storage, which we're going to put our backups in, that comes from something called object lock from the governance and compliance mode of S3 storage. So the thought is you put backup data into the cloud and it will be marked as immutable. You can't delete it, period. Not through the backup interface, not through the APIs. You can't go into the AWS console and delete the bucket either. So think about putting backup data in there, and I'm going to put a timeline on it of keep it immutable for 14 days or something like that. It will not go away for 14 days. Neat. So it's really, really cool.
Neat. So I was going to say, so if people are interested in this, what's the license? Has the licensing model changed with V10 at all, or is it still the same and tried and true method?
Well, you know, it's funny because one more thought. Whenever I tell that story about the immutable backups, the first question is, what about Azure?
Sure.
Because it's an Amazon angle.
Right.
So Azure has two storage technologies that you initially would think would be the right candidate for that. One is container level immutability for blob storage. And the second is Azure Blob Soft Delete. Now, we currently don't support either of those. we're working with Microsoft to find, you know, are they going to implement a new service for that Azure storage resource to make something like immutable backups be a good option there in Azure? Or maybe we make API changes to interact with soft delete or something like that. But I don't know what Veeam's going to end up doing. Container level immutability is almost too powerful because we don't just put one file in the cloud. We carve it out into thousands of small files that become objects in the cloud, right? So that's always the first question is, what about Azure? So to your question about, you know, licensing, right? How does this, what changes? So the main thing is we're trying to get organizations to go to this notion of a universal license, which the universal license, when you think about all the data platforms in play, is actually really a smart bet on the future. So the universal license has been in play since October of last year, actually even before that. But basically, a universal license allows one license to back up a VMware virtual machine or a Hyper-V virtual machine or a physical server or a workload in the cloud or 250 gigabytes of NAS data. We don't care. It's universal. And the thought is that, especially as workloads change, you know, I might, my physical count might go up, my virtual count might go down, or most people do it backwards, but that's okay. My overall total, it's just consuming from a pool of licenses. That's the logic of the universal license. And that way you don't have to think, oh, I need VMware licenses for backup. I need physical server licenses for backup. I need Linux servers. I need cloud servers. You know, we haven't put everything into that model. Like our Office 365 email backup doesn't consume the universal license just yet. So it's not super Veeam universal just yet. Okay. But yeah, the universal license is the key to all things for sure.
Gotcha. Very, very cool. It's obviously a big announcement, and people, and there'll be links down below for anybody who has more questions. And you said the community edition is free, correct?
That's right. Community edition is free. The only cost is you'll probably get an email from Veeam like, hey, you want more? We can sell you more, you know, that type of thing. But it is a free, it's really the graduated version of our free edition. And the good thing about community edition is it has these 10 instances, right? So those universal licenses, you could have a handful of PCs, handful of VMs, and a handful of NAS data. And you can back all of that up. And it, I don't think the community edition supports the cloud. Actually, now that I think about it. So we can't use the immutable backups bit, but I can tell you, I can help you get an NFR license for the listeners. It'll be an exclusive, just bug me on Twitter and I can get you an NFR license that'll function at a higher level. I just got to creep you and make sure you're real and, you know, make sure you're not like reselling it. Hence the NFR. But yeah, if you want more, you know, just talk to me from a community edition use case.
Cool. No, that is that's a neat little, hot, I was gonna say top tip, hot tip, whatever you want to call it. But
Same for O365, by the way, backup. Our community edition will do 10 users as well as SharePoint and OneDrive data. That is free for up to 10 as well.
That is very, very good to know.
Especially OneDrive. I think we're all kind of, it's a little hard. I don't know if we're all going to finally tip over and embrace OneDrive, you know, like really across the board. I know here at Veeam, we're like, we're walking away from Dropbox. We're done using file shares and things like that. But OneDrive data is really becoming that first class citizen for where our file data goes, right? We have an example. In fact, the person who just walked by did a great example at our internal event in Atlanta last month. Imagine if we had a ransomware situation and encrypt all of our OneDrive data. It's immediately synchronized to O365.
Yep.
Or to OneDrive in Office 365. How do you undo that?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you could use Veeam Backup for Office 365 free edition and restore it all. So there you go. For the listeners, a little free tip. In fact, if you're struggling, for the listeners, if you're struggling with, should I back up O365? Download this community edition and, you know, maybe back up the CEO and exec team's mailbox or something like that. And they will eventually ask you to restore something. And there you go. You got your cost justification.
There you go. There you go. That's good stuff, Rick. That is good stuff.
I try. Yeah. You know, keep it green. That's what we do.
Well, congrats on that launch. I know that there was a lot, just, well, a little bit of work leading up to that release and some testing and some trialing and some developing time. Just, it's, you know, you guys just pushed it out the door. No big deal. No big deal.
Well, I mean, it was the biggest, motion we've ever done.
Sure.
Product sure. perspective. So yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Version 10. Now, if you do like Apple and Microsoft, you will release no more versions. Everything will just be version 10 going forward for here for perpetuity, right? We have OS X 10 point, what are we on now? Like 10.11, we're on Windows 10 version, like who even knows anymore?
Well, like, I mean, it's like the generations of iPads.
Yeah, exactly.
Our surfaces are getting that way. Once the product gets established in the market, it kind of blurs, because the thought is, if you say you use an Apple device, or you say you use a Surface, or you say I use Veeam, there's actually a general understanding of what your capabilities are.
Yep.
The versions don't necessarily matter in the end, but we do get pressure for specific capabilities. You know, some of our products are going to go into more of a cloud cadence, you know, like
which makes sense.
But VNR is such a big platform, I doubt it can do that, but for now. But yeah, we'll see what we call the next release. Who knows?
We will see. Well, Rick, we very much appreciate you taking time to talk about V10 and everybody else. Like I said before, there will be links down below to learn more about what is in that version, how you can take advantage of it, how you can maximize your capability. And Rick, we appreciate your time stopping by, and we'll catch all of you right back here next time.